This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
This is completely BS. This is shame. They had to win tonight? If that's the case, just let us know so we don't show up for the game. Just give them a win.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Coming up, we're going to talk about faith in sports. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. But Mike and I were just having a conversation as we are 10 days away from the NFL draft. And Mike says to me, it's risky business if you don't get your edge rusher in the first round.
Right.
I agree with you. And this is the conversation we were having off air, okay? I have not said let's not go edge. Mm-hmm. I have said that the edge rushers in this particular class, I would not go at 8. I'll go at 15. I'll go at 17 or 20.
Right.
And so it's where you pick them has been my concern. But to Mike's point, here's what we're getting to. Mike, if you decide not to go there, and let's just say a corner.
Right.
You get to the second round, it's slim pickings.
And that's just it. If you don't commit to it, now whether, again, you believe or you subscribe to the theory that if a guy is over, like if you got your guy, you just draft him, okay? I mean, we've gotten into this, like the valuation system, and some guys say, well, that's a reach. But again, if he balls out, then it's not a reach. But if he doesn't, then you made a mistake and you reached it. That's why general managers get fired. But the point is, kids, if we don't go edge rush, they're all going to be gone. There's a really risky opportunity that you don't get the guys you want when you pick in the second round unless you can move up. So there's the rub, Carl, because I just did another mock draft, and we got snaked on Austin Booker, who's this guy that was a combine, sort of a late bloomer. He's described that from Kansas, physical guy. That's an edge guy, which we talked about last week with, who is it, with Sigmund Bloom.
Yeah.
Our Dr. Sigmund, who does all the mock drafts. So there's guys like Marshawn Nealand from Western Michigan, and those guys are all gone in that second or third. So it's a risky – it's not dangerous balls, Carl, but it's risky business with this draft pick.
It is. And again, I'm not sure where you are. I told you guys by the beginning of next week, I'm ready to tell you where I think we're going. Beginning of next week. I've been trying to hold out on this, but I think I will be able to tell you, Mike, the beginning of next week. And by next Thursday night when we're live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, I will lock in this pick and tell you exactly where we're going.
Does this mean that Raheem is not going to tell you until next week?
No, Raheem's not telling me anything.
Give me the skinny.
The Falcons have been so – I will say this to you guys. The Falcons have been so locked up, buttoned up. Guys, they're not talking about anything. I'm just being honest with you. There's nobody around town that's telling you guys where they're going to go. You know why? Because nobody knows. So if somebody's telling you right now this is where they're going, they're lying to you. This team and this organization, Mike, has not let out anything. And there is still – no reason to think that they might not make a trade. Now, Mike has talked about moving back, mm-hmm. not moving down, moving back to acquire more picks. That is still obviously on the table, but you need a partner. Even if you wanted to go up and get a guy, if you felt like that was the situation in this draft, and I do not believe that because we don't need a quarterback,
right.
then you stay put and maybe somebody comes and pays you to go get number 8. But there are lots of stuff on the table. But no, Mike, I don't think anybody right now truly knows except the people in the building. And that's probably only about 4 or 5 people. Because I don't think they're sharing it with everybody. Like, these are our top 3 guys. And believe it, they don't have just one guy. You have to have an alternative plan, guys. We get into the draft next Thursday night and things go astray, and all of a sudden you're going, wait a minute, we didn't expect that to happen. Right. Which way are you going? Which gets us into that whole receiver situation.
Right, and there's still a chance where, you know, they're going to take a receiver in the second. They've always shown the ability to go for best athlete. And, if you keep going best athlete, I mean, I think it's going to be a corner. But then, you know, can you pull off – are we going to just simply spackle – the edge rush, if you can't pull off that big-time name in the first or second round, are we going to roll? Because I guess you could argue the market's going to get to settle even further that if Calais Campbell comes back or Bud Dupree, you can get them for like a little bit less than what you got them last year.
True.
But that's not exactly sexy, is it?
No, and that's the problem. I mean, like, it doesn't get the fan base excited. I don't know if they care about that. I would hope that the Kirk Cousins signing got everybody excited to know we got a quarterback who can deliver the football. I don't know if this thing is top priority, Mike, to get the fan base as excited as we did with the quarterback, because we got to have a quarterback, and right. That was the main thing. All right, 404-726-0929. While we're talking about the Falcons, before we get into some other blitz stuff and around the NFL, can I hear Raheem Morris? He was on Steve Wyche's podcast. He was asked, what's more important while we're talking about this, edge rusher or lockdown corner?
So I'll put it to you this way. More important for you to have the edge rusher who can win to disrupt the quarterback or the corner who can also help you play 10-on-10?
You know, you're dealing with a veteran reporter here in San Diego, Steve, and he's trying to ask me who we're picking at 8.
Yes, I am.
And we're absolutely not going to give that up. We'll take the best player there for us.
Come on.
And we will always stick to that. To put us in a corner or to pigeonhole us at a position will be unfair to the work and the process that's been put on throughout the building. Since I've been there.
Terry Fontenot has taught you well.
You know, it's about collaborating with your guy.
Sure.
And you guys do such a great job of figuring out what the needs are on the team, what best fits for us. And, you know, you're not always wrong, but I'm going to certainly make sure you're not always right.
There we go. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah. So if it's the best athlete available. Now, everybody, as we know, with the websites, Carl, has their own little scale,
yeah.
And some vary from others. The best athlete, according to the Pro Football Focus guys, depending on some mock drafts, would be Cooper DeJean or Quinyon Mitchell. Or it's a defensive tackle that nobody's talking about, Jerzon Newton from Illinois,
yeah,
who also was a beast at the combine. But we kind of have the middle of the line
taken
set
care of
right now.
With
right.
Grady coming back,
right.
and Onyemata.
Latu, they got it. I know you like Latu. They got him at 11.
Did you say
Latu?
Latu.
Latu. Latu.
Yes.
With the neck.
Yeah, I do. I love him. Only from the pass rush standpoint.
Right.
If you're telling me we just need a guy to get after the pass rush or the quarterback, he's the best edge guy in this draft. If you're talking about all the other things, okay, so be it. But for me, it's
Latu.
Latu. Again, Pro Football Focus. Some guys, I think, you know, you can take or leave it. But just for the sake of this argument, this discussion, they've got Dallas Turner ranked as the 16th.
What?
16th best athlete
what?
In the Number 16, as in, yes.
And
the best
you guys
athlete.
Want to tell me I hate Alabama?
Terrion Arnold from Alabama is actually ranked higher. The corner is at 15.
So you're telling me there was a better player on that team than Dallas Turner? That's what you're telling me. That's what you're telling me.
Well, again, my neighbor, by the way, his dog Shadow and I, they're buddies. They have a lot of fun. But while the dogs are mauling each other on the walking trail,
yeah.
he goes, Why didn't Dallas Turner do more in Alabama if he's this freakazoid that they said he was at the combine?
What was the first thing I told you about this whole situation? Did I not say that months ago?
Yep.
When we first started talking about the draft.
And that's what I told him. I said, my boy Carl said the exact same thing.
I said his physical tools should have allowed him to have a better year than what he had. And Alabama fans are losing their mind. He played within the system. Okay, whatever. All right, sure he did.
Yeah, I mean, you're playing for Nick Saban. I mean, you know, where's the 15 sacks?
He
where's
did
the,
what they asked him to do.
You know, where's the moment okay. where Dallas Turner took the game over?
Took right. over. Strip
right.
sack.
Right.
Picked it up.
Right.
Scored.
Will Anderson was doing that stuff earlier in his career at Alabama.
Tip ball. Interception.
Yeah, I mean.
Took it to the house.
I didn't see Dallas Turner pick somebody up like a human victory cigar like Jalen Carter did.
I didn't see that either.
Right. I mean, iconic moments. Where were they? Bama fan, by
tackle
the way.
Tackle for loss. Another tackle for loss. Where was all this yeah. stuff?
Yeah. I mean, seriously, what's going on? And for Alabama fans, hit us up. Put them up, C-Dukes. I'm Mike Bell, ATL.
Please do. Please do.
I'm curious for guys. I mean, you know, we all watch our teams. You watch Georgia or, you know, or you're watching Texas. I'm watching everything. But you watch Alabama like I watch Florida State. I want to know why this Dallas Turner didn't do more.
He did what he was asked to do, Mike.
And nothing more. So are you telling me that – see, here's the thing that's going to come out this week. This is when all the stuff drops, right?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
You know what I heard from Alabama? Somebody told me.
What?
Dallas Turner's a quiet quitter. He apparently punched the clock, And that's when the game was.
That's it.
That's it. He didn't leave anything on the field, did he? I don't know. I'm not sure.
He left early, as a matter of fact.
Or that's it. He's a quiet quitter.
Listen, if we draft him, all I'm saying to you guys who are all in on it, he better be a difference maker.
Right.
That's it. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
All right.
Jared Verse is ranked 17 from the Pro Football Focus Nerds.
So they basically have the two edge rushers back to back.
Correct. Latu is still the guy that, of all the three, Latu is the number 11. So he's five.
Did you say
Latu? He's five spots ahead. They're not concerned with the neck injury because they're
nerds.
Of course
not, because he's a player.
They're nerds. Let's see real quick. Kool-Aid McKinstry is 23. Just looking for guys that would fit what we're looking for here.
Mike, I'll tell you this. If they take the kid out of Iowa, DeGene.
Yeah.
I'm all in.
Cooper DeGene.
I'm all in. I know you guys are skeptical and all that. Come on, stop worrying about what you think you need to be worried about.
Well, we talked with Brian. We talked with Bryant McFadden about this.
Why are you laughing, Oren? Because you know I'm right.
Oren, think about the shirts we could have, like White Boy Rick. You know what I mean? We get all this fun.
White Boy Cooper. If he can play, he can play. Who cares?
Yes. I mean, it would be the first white defensive back drafted in the first round in a long time. A white corner.
But I got to say this, though. If it went wrong, it would be so bad. It would be like, I knew y'all shouldn't have said anything about this Iowa guy.
I'm just saying.
I've seen the tape.
Right.
I've seen what he can do. He can cover, guys. I mean, I just don't know what else to tell you.
He's a natural athlete.
And so
God-given skills.
Wait a minute.
Coach's son.
Don't go there.
Gym rat.
No, don't go there.
Outthinks, outworks the competition.
If they went
Scrappy.
There,
Scrappy.
If they went there, yep. I'm all in. But right. Here's the deal, Mike. If he's ranked higher, this is what I'm getting to. It's our NFL Blitz. It's brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. If they went there,
right. If
he's ranked higher than Kool-Aid,
mm-hmm. Then
how could you be mad at that? Is my point.
Right.
If Kool-Aid is in your estimation there with the chart you're looking at,
right.
If he's ranked 20th and you're telling me DeGene is ranked top five,
right.
How could you be mad at that? Because what we're saying is people have looked at him and the scouts have said, listen, this is where his value is.
They've got Brock Bowers at sixth best athlete.
He is.
In the entire draft.
Which is why I went off on the guy that went on the morning show who didn't know what the hell he was talking about.
Right. Ladd McConkey, by the way. Again, this is Pro Football Focus. Ladd McConkey.
I don't care what his name is, Turtle.
What was the guy's name?
Mark Ross. He just told
him.
Me.
Yeah, they got Ladd McConkey as like a top 30. Ladd McConkey in a Rams-style offense. I know he's not as big as Cooper Kupp. We talked about this with Bryant when you were up on Friday.
That's going to be a problem.
Ladd can get open, man.
He's going to be a problem.
I would not hate them taking him in the second round if they decided to.
No doubt. By the way, more with Raheem Morris, who went on the Steve Wyche podcast coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Steve asked him about getting Kyle Pitts the ball more and also talked about our quarterback's recovery, of course, Kirk Cousins, and how that is all going. Kirk, you can call in anytime and let us know if you want. We know you listen. 404-726-0929 is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. By the way, speaking of Cousins, big shout-out, man. The
Buckhead Masters. Butcher Shop. How about that?
Yeah, man. Big shout-out to Cousins representing our guys over at Buckhead Butcher Shop. And Katie, who is the lovely wife of Connor, who they own Buckhead, she sent us a nice message over the weekend. So it was good to see that they were getting a lot of love because people were like, what is that?
Yeah.
What kind of hat is that? They thought it was like his own brand or something.
No, man, he has the meats,
that's right.
As we said. So, yeah, good for him. And we played, I know when you were off on Thursday, we had the Shay Shay podcast that Shannon Sharp does where you had Cam Newton basically just.
But I'm bitter. But I'm mad.
Yep, pretty much. Just basically assailing the Falcons for picking up Cousins. And then Shannon
egregious.
And then, all that about. Let it go, man. And by the way, we can reach out to Cam. Guys, won't you get him on the show? We can get him on the show. We can ask him the same question. If he wants to come on. He's come on the show before.
Yeah, I see him at the cigar bar.
I'm bitter.
Yeah, I see. You're mad because no one in the NFL has given you another opportunity.
And the thing I brought up to some of the folks out there that were being, because it kind of went down a little bit like racialized because they kept talking about, they never mentioned Baker Mayfield. They said they couldn't. Why? There's a guy that can run. And it had to be always, it was always kind of like they kept going back to the black quarterback thing, which gets people fired up. My thing was like, there's 11 general managers, 10 not named Terry Fontenot, who are of color, who also are not calling Cam Newton the last couple of years.
Well, at this juncture in the NFL, you're talking about five or six, African American general managers. If it was solely based on that, and it's not. Again, can he play?
What you got left?
What can he play? It's not based on that, because if it was, obviously he would have gotten a shot. Mike, we talked about this with the Steelers, right? They make the deal to go get, Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. Well, Omar Khan, who's the general manager there, Mike could have easily made a deal to go get Cam Newton. They didn't.
Right.
There's a reason for that. So, we love Cam for what he does and what he's been doing in this community, but the fact is, that's just – Stop hating, man.
Just straight hating.
Come on.
That's
to say that they called Cousins over you at this point in this juncture in your career versus where he's at, I don't even think it's a conversation, right. You know, but we're not taking away your MVP or your Super Bowl appearance or what you were to this league and how dynamic you were, but that's ridiculous.
And the argument he kept making is like, you know, with my injury, I can't get a phone call. This guy coming off an Achilles and he gets all this money. So that's basically why he was in his bag.
Yeah, he was on his way to an
egregious.
He was on his way to an MVP season when he got injured.
Correct. And he's still a more accurate passer. You know, Chris ran the numbers as far as individual seasons, as far as, you know, how many times was he over 4,000, all that stuff. And just Kirk Cousins is just a better passer.
Skip. It is Dukes and Bell. Cam, you know what? He's been getting a lot of love on these podcasts and stuff, and it's great. I'm glad
gives great analysis when he's talking about the game.
Yeah, I'm glad he's giving, or what he's saying, he's being completely honest about. But to just say they called him not over me, you know, come on. All right, man. Faith in sports. Some of you were offended. I was not one of them. We'll talk about it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Just got a great tweet. We don't call it X, Twitter. Al hits us up, says, fellas, this is very compelling. And it is a stat from PFF that put out there about new Falcons coach Raheem Morris, when he was the defensive coordinator with the Rams, had 355 snaps where at least one edge defender dropped into coverage last year.
Like Dan Quinn used to do. Remember?
Correct.
Back in the day.
Correct. Okay. And the number basically says, well, of the edge rushers that we are currently looking at, that we are going to potentially pick in this draft, did they do any of that? And ironically, the guy that did it the most is Dallas Turner at Alabama.
There you go.
So he says, isn't this compelling? And my response to him, I'm about to hit send, it is. It shows his ability to be in coverage. Guess what I need? I need a guy to get after the quarterback. I don't need a guy in coverage. Guys, when I say Micah Parsons, do you think of him sacking the quarterback or do you think him being in coverage?
He is a Swiss Army knife in that sense. But he can do it when asked to do it, but you think of him as a guy, Lawrence Taylor, getting the quarterback on the ground.
He's going to get his bag, Mike, because he gets after the quarterback. He's not going to get his bag because he can drop back and be in a zone coverage.
But if you remember, and it used to drive us crazy. Now, I don't want to compare Raheem and what he's going to do because, you know, but there are some similarities. If you look at, remember the way you and I would yell at the TV with Vic Beasley.
Yeah.
They take Vic Beasley out, drop him into a quadrant, and basically makes him, it's almost like you're playing with 10 men. Totally ineffective. And as opposed to see quarterback, get quarterback. But that is part of their defensive philosophy. Can't argue with the Rams because the guys they used last year just kicked ass. They got some guys in the third round that fit everything.
They did. Yeah. So Turner, most coverage snaps among edge rushers. 238.
Latu.
55. Jared Verse, 27. See, the deal why Jared Verse didn't drop back in the coverage, that's not what they asked him to do at Florida State.
No, he's secret. That's hand in the dirt, get the quarterback on the ground.
That's not what they asked him to do. So it's in what you want, and if you're going to tell me, well, I want a guy that's versatile. Okay, do you want a guy that's great at one thing or a guy that's good at just a couple? I need greatness at one thing. We've not had it. We continue to talk about it. And guess what? If we're talking about Dallas Turner come fall, Mike, and he's dropping back in coverage, and we're going, why doesn't he have more sacks? I'm going to have a problem with that.
Right. Well, what about getting another linebacker in here, like Caden Ellis jump up on the line?
Either or.
I mean.
But Al, thank you for the info.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I mean, it's just something. We talked about Caden Ellis and the size-wise, 6'3", 238 gets lost sometimes in the trenches. But we thought he was going to be a guy that was going to walk up more to the line last year, and then go get the quarterback on the ground last season.
Yeah.
And that really didn't translate as much as maybe we thought it was going to. But I just spitballing here. That is interesting, though. And if you like other names, Chop Robinson, he doesn't do that either. So when you get into – so if you're looking for guys, if we're going to look second round, third round, or move up, because you got to really move up, all the big defensive ends, there's a run on them in the end of the second round, top of the third.
All right, more –
that's second tier.
Correct. More to come. We talked about Steve Wyche's interview with Raheem Morris. We'll let you hear more of what that is about as he asked him one pivotal question that everybody wonders about, and that is – what's up with Kyle Pitts and how is he going to be used? You'll hear what Raheem had to say about that. But we were talking about the draft, so I just wanted to follow up with that. Mike, real quick, I want to talk about faith in sports. We don't talk enough about it because guys, in many cases, Mike, don't talk about it. Scottie Scheffler was asked, after winning the Masters, about, you know, being satisfied in his career. And he was very forward in talking about his faith. And talking about a conversation he had with his boys before the final round on Sunday morning, and the fact that, you know, golf is important to him, but he's, right, you know, had a kid now. He's got a lovely wife.
He said it's now probably the fourth most important thing in his life.
Yeah. Yeah. And I put out there on social media that this is why Scotty's not going to fall off. His priorities are in the right place. And when I say fall off, injury, that's different. What I mean is being distracted, having things in your life that interfere with you being great. Okay? And so I want you to hear one of his responses, but there were people who said, wow, okay, so he's talking about this. Scotty didn't have a megaphone on a street corner. He was asked after winning the Masters, and he responded, this is who I am. This is where I'm at. And I respected it. And I had no issues with it, but some people did. Here's one of the things that he said.
I feel like playing professional golf is an endlessly not satisfying career. For instance, in my head, all I can think about right now is getting home. I'm not thinking about the tournament. I'm not thinking about the green jacket. I'm trying to answer your questions. I'm trying to get home. I wish I could soak this in a little bit more. Maybe I will tonight when I get home. But at the end of the day, I think that's what the human heart does. You always want more. And I think you got to fight those things and focus on what's good. Because, like I said, winning this golf tournament does not change my identity. My identity is secure, and I cannot emphasize that enough.
Yeah, and he was talking about being saved. When he talks about his identity, he's talking about being saved. He's a believer. I'm a believer. I have no issues with what he said. Right. But some people were like, oh, that's a little bit too much. Was it, Mike?
Well, you know, we're in a world now where it's almost like knocking out a soapbox here. I think, you know, you feel how you feel, and you use your platform if you want to, you know, for folks who are evangelical Christian, whatever your predisposition is, you're going to use that platform to, you know, to express your message, to get the message out there. And we've had that for years. I don't bat an eye one way or the other. I mean, look, I do believe in the separation of church and chicken. I wish Chick-fil-A was open on Sundays. But, you know, when it comes to church and sport, religion is a big part of it. When you go to a locker room, a clubhouse, there's a large portion, especially look at Dabo. Dabo's success. People want to crap on Dabo Sweeney. Bobby Bowden was faith-based. That was a big part. Nobody talks about it. We always talk about him looking out for his players. Yeah, Bobby Bowden was a faith-based coach. And that's kind of what Dabo's doing in Clemson. So
we built this program in God's name, image, and likeness.
You know, and in the Southeast, there's no problem with that. You know, if you're on the West Coast or the East Coast, well, you look down your nose at religion. That's part of the problem, the disconnect with the flyover states, right?
Yeah.
I got no problem with Scotty Scheffler saying that. I mean, zero. I'm not. Now, again, we all deal with our religion, our beliefs personally. Some people feel it should be kept personal. Other people say throw it out there.
Yeah, and that's part of this is his responses included some very personal things. But you want to know these guys. You get upset when you don't hear enough from them or you feel like they haven't given you enough to know them as a person.
Right.
For years, we didn't know Tiger. You felt some kind of way about it. So when Scotty gets up there and says, saved, the tournament doesn't make me. Right. I had this conversation with my friends this morning, and they're like, whether you win today or not, you're good. And he talked about it from a faith-based position. Some of you, I don't know why you would have an issue with
it. He's got balance in his life, and he gets it from his faith. You know, and why is that something to crap on? You know, unless you, as we said, it's sort of become like, I don't want to sound like it's culture wars, but there's been people that get marginalized for having faith and expressing it publicly.
Well, and particularly in sports, because it's play your game, and
right.
That's all
and
I care
right.
about.
Exactly.
That's all I care about.
Shut up
right?
and dribble, shut up and do this, whatever.
Which is the dumbest thing ever, because these are human beings who have emotions and feelings, and guess what? They're a part of our communities, and they care about what's going on, and if you have a platform, to your point, Mike, and I just won the Masters, and you're asking me personal questions about, you know, your kid and what's going to happen next, and I acknowledge these things about myself.
Right.
I love the fact that he went there. I actually like Scotty Scheffler even more, and I've liked him since he was at Texas. Right. I like him more because he's being more personable and telling me what really matters in his life. He's a hell of a golfer. He said, you know what, I've been giving this guy given talent, but at the end of the day, you know, I got to try to do the best I can with it, but it's not the most important thing.
Right.
I think my point is, if we maybe we had more of that.
Right. I mean, look, I'm not telling anybody how to live. You know, I think you know, with religion comes a set of core values that not everybody has, right? I think it's stuff that we were brought up with it, indoctrinated with it. We call it what you like. If you don't like it, you'll say indoctrinated. If it's part of your core values, it helps forge who you are.
Well, it gives you a foundation.
Gives you foundation, yes. You know? But, you know, in a world we live in now where everything's kind of haywire, it's nice that some people can still have that base. And for him, that's gives him peace in his life. And that's why, some people don't want to hear that. Some jaded media types, so be it.
Yeah. And by the way, some guys, to Mike's point, they're not talking about it because they don't want the criticism that goes with it.
Correct.
Or the perception of, right. Oh, you better not say this around that person because you know how he is.
It's right. Also in sports every single week. We just don't talk about it. There are prayer circles before and after every single major football game. They're just not shown on TV.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, Bijan Robinson, we got a lot of guys in the foul. I mean, as I said, if you grow up, you know, anywhere in the country, I mean, if you're in a locker room, there's a lot of – it's a big part of it. It's just there's a lot of folks in the media that just, you know, it's – I don't know. There's a bias in some cases about things which, you know, here in the Southeast we feel pretty strongly about.
All right, 404-726-0929. You're more than welcome to chime in on that. Yesterday, because of what Scotty said, it became bigger than just the win, and a lot of people were reacting to his comments.
By the way, just bring it to the Braves. You know, I was arguing last week on social media with a bunch of guys. They were so diametrically opposed to the idea of Trevor Bauer. And I said, look, you know, I don't know what his personal life. You guys, we've all read the same things, and some of it sure seems a little weird, you know, and maybe, you know, your morality certainly isn't his. I get all that. But when you go into a baseball clubhouse, you got the God Squad guys, right? You've got folks who are happily married. Then there's guys out there living their lives. I mean, there's a full spectrum. I do think in locker rooms, people get into this whole chemistry thing. Josh Donaldson was kind of a jerk. And he's kind of had that rep around other teams around the big leagues, right?
Yeah.
If you do your job, people will coexist. Not everybody has to love each other in a locker room either, on the flip side.
No. And, you know, again.
And if you're going to be faith-based, you better walk the walk. There's some guys like Steve Garvey that would remember the Dodgers. He was always throwing it out there about his faith. Meanwhile, he's stooping everything that wasn't nailed down. He was a big fraud.
Yeah. Well, that's something that eventually, you know, people have to deal with. What Mama used to say, what you do in the dark comes to the light. And it's real. 404-726-0929. We're coming back. We got plenty more to get to. Yeah, Man, No Man is coming up next.
Sports Radio 92.9.
This hour is brought to you by Status Truck and Trailer Repair, driven by excellence, building successful partnerships. Coming up, we will talk to our buddy Connor Riley about G-Day and all the things that we should be taking away from it. As Georgia spring game has come and gone, and now we can look ahead, guys, to, believe it or not, the fall. We always talk about once you get past the spring game, all these guys are enrolled, and the team, you know, as far as the depth charts and all of that stuff will get worked out. But I'm already counting down to the start of college football.
Right. Now it's just, all right, nobody do anything stupid, and keep it under 100.
Yeah, and thank you, Big O. Portal opens tomorrow,
right.
So you'll see some guys and some movement in college football. But yeah, I'm excited about getting this thing started. All right, we got to get to Yeah Man, No Man.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man. He's the former MVP of his high school football team.
Not really.
From New Jersey.
The Cavs are here.
And gives rapid-fire questions. Here's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Chris Thomas.
Turtle, what's going on, man? How was your weekend?
Oh, my weekend was great. Shout out to all the fine folks at Grindhouse Burgers in Athens. We had a great time doing the show. Met a bunch of listeners and had myself a delicious burger. But, guys, I want to start here. You know when you're kind of scrolling through your apps and you're looking for something to watch and you maybe watch a preview here or something there and you're like, man, I have Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, but I feel like there's nothing to watch. You ever have that feeling?
All the time. We say this. There are so many good shows, so much good content out there to consume. I probably have 8 shows that I have marked, hadn't started them. Mike just asked me about Curb Your Enthusiasm, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to get to it. Didn't, because I was traveling this week. I still haven't seen the last episode, which no. Mike told me I'm absolutely going to love.
Yeah, and it's funny, especially when you consider how bad Seinfeld was poorly received for how they wrapped up, and they kind of make amends on that. But yeah, I don't give it all away, but Shogun, I mean,
haven't even started it.
If you guys haven't watched Shogun, and if you're like of a certain age, a lot of us read that book as kids, man, I don't know. I'd love to know the budget on that for FX. It's unbelievable how well that has been done. It's
FX
fantastic.
Does great shows, by the way. They just do. Yeah. But to your point, yes, you have all the streaming services, and yes, I can't watch anything.
Okay, so one streaming service in Disney Plus is fighting to combat this epidemic. They are releasing channels inside of the app What? To get you involved in their programming. So, for instance, they're going to have a 24/7 Star Wars channel where they will feature the movies, the TV shows, the specials, everything that's encompassed within the app to try to get you to tease into something like it and then stream that series within the app so you don't delete it. That's the whole goal behind this. So now Disney Channel is saying, if you have a kid and he likes Mickey Mouse, we're going to have a Mickey Mouse channel. All the different Mickey Mouse cartoons from all the different eras. We're going to have a Marvel channel where we're going to be playing all Marvel 24/7, 365. You like this idea? Yeah, man, no, man.
Yeah, because here's the deal. So I have Disney. And if I want to watch a Marvel movie or go back, because I've seen them all multiple times.
Yeah, of course.
I just go back and watch it. I don't know if I need to get in depth into the channel to get me intrigued enough to go back and watch it. If I want to go see Endgame again for the 18th time, I'll go watch it. If I want to see Thor, like, I don't know if that's going to appeal to me, but maybe the kids, and it allows them to stay interested, and maybe then the parents who are paying these app fees or, you know, the streaming fees. Maybe. But for me, it's not going to work because, like, if there's something that I've seen and I want to go back and see it, it's in my head and I want to watch it. As I'm flipping through and I'm like, oh, yeah, look, that Star Wars movie I've seen 18 million times. Let me go back and watch it. I don't know if it's going
to
work for me.
Yeah, I guess if we're so overwhelmed. But, I mean, there's a logic to it, and they feel they're going to drive people to do more stuff and eventually spend more loot, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I think this is more about retention than extra spending.
Because they know our attention span.
Because if you're considering getting rid of the app and you're like, all right, I'll give it one more shot, and you click in and you see the channel menu, you're like, all right, I've never watched Loki before.
Yeah.
And they're on and they're showing an episode of Loki. Let me check in for 5 minutes, see if I dig the vibe, and then maybe, you know what, oh, I'll go back to season one, episode one
check it out. And we talked about this about a year ago. It is interesting how they basically, Marvel made the perfect series of movies that came to the perfect conclusion. And everything since then, with the exception, even the black, and it's tough because you can't do Black Panther because Chadwick, it was, you know, that was always going to be tough to do without him. But it just seems like ever since they kind of went to the final story with Avengers, nothing's really been up to snuff, has it?
Yeah, they've the spinoffs. I will tell you, the series that are on, I guess it is Disney, where, you know, they've had these spinoff series. I think they've been really good. But they're only about 6-7 episodes. You know, they're not long. Like, this is not like 13-14 episodes like it used to be years ago when you watch a television show. A lot of these shows are the 6 or 7 episodes, and they're done. 8 at the most. Yeah. So, yeah, Turtle, I don't know if that'll work for us. But it listen, they've got all the money and all the research. It probably has told them this is going to work for a lot of people.
All right. Let me bring in your guy here, Carl.
Who?
Brian Baldinger.
Okay.
He said something that really caught my eye. Or ear. He went on the Steakhouse today, and he was talking about the tackle that everyone's been talking about, Joe Alt.
Yeah.
Who might be there for the Falcons at 8.
Okay.
But if Tennessee doesn't steal him, Or they said Harbaugh likes him, too, so he wants to get physical with the Chargers, too.
But he made a very interesting comparison and said, maybe not so fast.
Huh. I think he's going to be actually a lot like Jake Matthews. I think he's just going to be a really good player for a long time. I don't know that he's going to make a lot of Pro Bowls, I think he's going to be a really good player the way Jake has been a really good player. Durable, tough, smart, gets the job done, but probably isn't going to represent the NFC, you know, the way, say, Lane Johnson has represented the NFC, you know, in Pro Bowls.
For those who don't remember, Jake was a 6th-round pick in the 2014 draft. And
the 6th overall.
Yep, 6th overall. And he was a Pro Bowler in 2018.
One. Yeah. He has missed one game. This is what Baldy's alluding to.
Knock wood.
Correct. I'll say this. What Baldy is saying is he worth the pick at 8, what you're telling me, which is why he might be there for us. And my thing about this whole Joe Alt thing has been you have a 3-year investment and you just spent $100 million plus money, you know, $130, $40 million on a quarterback who is not a spring chicken, but certainly you need to protect. And I think part of that is, do you feel like, hey, I would rather invest in offensive line than reach, okay, and go get a guy at 8 that you could possibly get at 15 or 18 versus going to get an offensive lineman. What Baldy's saying there, man, and listen.
It's kind of like the Dallas Turner argument. He's the best of the class, but he's still maybe not the best to be taken in the top 10.
Mike, difference makers. This is what we're talking about. They're good NFL players, and then they're difference makers. And I think Baldy's point, I was going to keep plug here inside the huddle, in the huddle with Baldy, myself, and Jason Lock on four. This is a podcast. We've been talking about guys that that's part of the problem is we all feel like every draft pick in the first round is going to be a difference maker. The reality is what? You probably have about four or five of those guys at the most.
Right.
All these other guys can be really good football players and really good NFL guys. And I just think that's what he's saying there, Chris. It doesn't surprise me. Would I still take Joe Alt? It depends on how good you feel about our current offensive line. And by the way, no one's even said anything about our current offensive line.
No, you do need the heir apparent to Jake, speaking of which. If you do feel, and a lot of the audience who was lukewarm on the Kirk Cousins signing to worry about that Achilles and keeping him upright, you go get Joe Alt, you plug him in right tackle. You know, I mean, but that's interesting because Baldy played the position. And he's saying,
and he breaks down all these offensive
linemen. And he's not blown away.
Yeah.
Because the Giants may go Joe Alt. I mentioned Harbaugh's talked about him. You know, they don't want to give away their hand, you know, kind of like Billy Hunter, old GM with the Hawks. I'm going to take this guy in the fifth. But Harbaugh has expressed, and people who know how he likes to build a football team, he does it in the trenches. So maybe he goes five to the Chargers, or I wouldn't have a problem with Alt, despite what Baldy said.
What if Alt and Turner are both there at eight? Who do you take?
Ooh,
I think that's possible.
The first Baldy. I'm not saying negative, but that's the first less than glowing review of Alt that I've heard.
Same.
First here, you know, with Baldy. So that's interesting.
Well, again, take it in context. He's going to be a good player. Yeah.
He might not be Hall of Fame gold jacket, but he's going to be your guy for hopefully a decade. That's what Jake has been. As you said, knock wood, Jake stayed healthy.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's not to me, it's not negative. It's just you're getting a good football player. But if you think he is going to be next level, 10-time Pro Bowler, 6-time All-Pro.
It's not like you're drafting Jonathan Ogden.
Yes. There it is.
All right, let's end with this, and let's end with something fun. Kudos to my home state, the Garden State, New Jersey, where a kid had his minor league baseball dream come true over the weekend as a high schooler. He was able to do something that all of us at one point during our playing careers dreamed about doing. If you were a pitcher at any point during your career, just take a listen.
Starr checks on the runner, third to second, the fake throw, or no, a real throw, went into center field. It hit in ball trick. We were all fooled, and the game is over. Oh my goodness! What a way to end it for Delcy, a comeback victory. and throw pulling a rabbit out of a hat to win the game for Delcy. We were all fooled.
Nice. On a windswept baseball field, apparently.
Yeah, that is funny.
How about that?
Where did that happen again?
That was in New Jersey.
Oh, that's funny.
In a high school championship.
So the move that never works, basically.
Yeah, we've all probably tried it at least once playing on the Sandlot. We've all thought about it in a game and then thought better of it in case it didn't work because we'd get benched. But this kid had the you-know-whats to pull it off in the bottom of the seventh inning with the game on the line.
That's crazy.
And they win the game.
Yeah, that's crazy. And that call, because I think they got fooled, right? Is that why?
Yeah, the announcer thought he threw it into center field.
Yeah.
Because the kid, in the video, you see the pitcher fake the throw, and then he starts running towards center field as if to go catch up with it. The runner starts to break. He makes a sharp left-hand turn and tags him out. It was absolutely beautiful.
That's great. That's great.
Beautiful.
Yeah, you rarely see that at any level, by the way. So, very cool.
Yeah. It's just one of those things. We've all thought about it once or twice, and I think we've all thought better of it in a baseball game. All right, Big O, we got to run. Hit my music.
The other one is where the pitcher walks over to the first baseman and gives him the ball like in an exchange. Right. Secrecy. And then the first baseman has the ball, but he walks back
goodness.
Over.
Yeah. Who's the Yankee pitcher who does the stupid leg wiggle towards first? Nestor Cortez. Boy, is that jab. Have you seen his routine?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just – talk about – I mean, you know some guys think that's some Bush League stuff, what he's pulling out there.
No doubt. We're going to hear what Terry Fontenot, or should I say Raheem Morris, had to say about Kyle Pitts coming up as part of our Falcon Report. By the way, this hour is brought to you by Status Truck and Trailer Repair, driven by excellence, building successful partnerships. We're coming back. Connor Riley's going to join us from Dog Nation. What happened at G-Day? Find out next.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.